This episode is one of my favorite because I get to talk about my new puppy, Moji, and the transformation he has brought into my life and my husband's in the past 3 months since we brought him home. Gosh, I can't even believe it's been 3 months. We brought him home in February, right before the pandemic, and he has been such a shining light and given us so much love and laughter. And when I was thinking about doing an episode, I thought there's two things I want to share. Number one is I am in an online dog academy, and it has been so helpful. And I want people who have puppies or dogs to know that these things exist. You don't have to go out and pay a ton of money for a dog trainer to come into your home. I think in-home dog trainers actually aren't as good as an online resource, because when somebody comes into your house, which happened to me a few years ago, you end up thinking they're the only ones that can change the behavior. You don't have as much confidence in yourself. And I found through this online dog training that I am learning. I am the one that is changing the behavior. I'm not relying on somebody else to do that. So I wanted to share that because I think it can benefit a lot of people out there who already have puppies and dogs who might be having some issues and can change them so easily with a simple online course. And number two, I want to inspire people to go out and pursue getting a dog. If you have a life that is empty, or you're afraid, maybe you're afraid to take that step because you're like, oh, it's going to be too much work. Well, it is work. It is work. But it is so worth it. It's like having a child. They are like children, but you go and you have a baby and your world just changes. You can't imagine life if you didn't have that baby. And that's what a puppy's like. The benefits far outweigh the efforts. And so I want people to know that I'm 61. I can go out and get a puppy, and I'm not afraid that the puppy is going to outlive me, because the puppy gives me more reasons to have a more active life and get outside and go for walks and a reason for being. And so I want to inspire people, if they're on the fence, if they've thought about getting a dog, but they hesitate, listen to my story and really seriously consider it, because there is a dog out there that needs you and that is just waiting for you. I am head over heels in love, and this feeling is one that I want everyone to have. So I wanted to introduce you to Sherry. Make sure you stay and listen to the end, because in the end, she shares a little bit about her story about why she ended up becoming a dog trainer. It's a really interesting story, and I should probably have her back and talk about that story. Also, in the show notes, I share some of the things Sherry taught me in the training, like the dog dispensing puzzle. And that's been really amazing. I never knew about those. So check out the show notes and see some of the things that we talk about in the episode. So let's get on. I want to introduce you to Sherry Nativo. Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped, so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had, so it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul. Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And I am here with my dog trainer, Sherry Nativo. And it's going to be a really fun interview, because I'm really going to be the person with the transformation this time. It's my puppy transformation and how much my puppy has changed my life in the last couple of months. And Sherry is a big part of that. So I wanted to have her on my podcast to share what she's done with me and Moji, my Pooton, So I want her to introduce, but she's got an online course called the Dog Academy. So hi, Sherry.
Hey, Lori. Thank you so much for having me.
And she also has a podcast. So what, before we get started, what's your podcast name again?
So the podcast is called the Naughty Dog Podcast. Anyone can find it on iTunes or Apple or Spotify.
I love Sherry's philosophy because it's no dog is a bad dog. Let's start there because my husband has been changed by Sherry's training. Yay. And he can be very stubborn about, he thinks, you know, he knows everything and he knows he doesn't know everything about dogs. Like you, we were talking before I hit record, we just think dogs think like us and they don't. And that's what he was saying is he's been a bad dog and he's a puppy. He doesn't know. Yes. He hasn't learned yet. And then he's like, I thought you knew how to train dogs. Cause I was like, I can do it. But there was so much. I mean, here I am 61 years old and I've had dogs all my life and I'm learning stuff that I didn't know. And as I was saying to Sherry, I'm so thankful that in this pandemic that we have this super little energetic fluff ball in our life. And it's been so amazing. So can you just start, because I've been talking so much here, can you start by just saying, I wasn't going to sign up. I've known Sherry through a group that we're in together for about a year, and I knew she had a course, but I didn't think I needed a course. And you saw me post something and then you encouraged me and I was like, okay, I don't think it'll hurt. So take it away.
Sure. So Lori and I know each other from a business group that we're both in on taking our businesses online. So I am a certified professional dog trainer. I think it's important to note that not all dog trainers are certified, but I have two certifications. And so I left my corporate job and decided to train dogs full time. I wanted to make sure that I knew what I was doing. So I have had my one-on-one business called All About Training Dogs for 7 years. And I worked for someone for 3 years prior to that. So I've been training dogs professionally now for 10 years. And so Lori and I met because we both have online businesses and we want to grow and essentially scale those online businesses. So Lori got an adorable little puppy and raising a puppy is really, really important because you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And that really rings true for puppies. And so Lori posted this cute picture of her puppy. What's his name again, Lori?
Moji.
Okay, Lori, I know Moji. Lori posted this adorable video of Moji looking at himself in the reflection of her mirrored closet doors, and he was barking at himself. Which is cute because as humans, we know that's a mirror and he's looking at his own reflection. But from the dog's perspective, he's barking at another dog. So is it cute and adorable because we know he's barking at his reflection? Yes. But what Moji thinks he's barking at another dog. So if you don't want your dog to grow up and bark and lunge at other dogs, which is an extremely common problem. That's 85% of my one-on-one business is that problem. Then even though it's cute and adorable, you don't really want it to happen. And so you want to start to socialize and train your puppy, ideally, you know, before they're around 16 weeks old. So yeah, I reached out.
And what's so funny is that I didn't even think about this is what really helped me when you reached out to me, because I made some comment about, oh, I have to wait until he's 12 weeks to socialize him. And you said, no, you actually need to socialize them beforehand. And what my vet had said, until he's immunized, don't take him out. And what you clarified is don't take him to the dog park where there he could potentially pick up a disease from another dog, but definitely get him out and about. He doesn't have to be playing with other dogs. So I immediately started, because I had a small dog, a Chihuahua. Lunging was never a problem because he was scared of his own shadow, but I took him with me everywhere. And so I wanted to have that with Moji. And so I have a little car seat in my car. And because of your advice, I went ahead and started taking him with me to the grocery. And I have a little doggy backpack. And I put him in a little backpack, and he just got really comfortable scooting around with me. this is before we got really into the whole pandemic stuff, but even now I'll still take them. Like if I have to go to a drive-through and do something. And I think it gives him that exposure. So yeah. So I thought that was very interesting, is that on one hand, the vet saying, do not take them out. And yet on the other hand, not taking them out is actually going to maybe delay his process and might create some bad habits in the meantime. Right?
Yeah. And that's a whole other, we could do a podcast episode on socialization, which, you know, I've done on my podcast, and that's a common misconception for a lot of dog owners, because they hear the word socialization and they think that it means if my dog isn't social, then socialization will work to make him social because it has the word social in it. But really, socialization is a developmental stage that is marked by a certain time frame or an age limit. So the socialization window is between 3 to 12 weeks old. That's when we want to add a lot of positive experiences, because your puppy's brain developmentally is more curious than frightened. Around 16 weeks old, those scales tip and novelty becomes scary if they haven't had enough positive experiences. So you want to do is you want to safely socialize your puppy. You want to avoid areas and places where there are a lot of unvaccinated dogs. So parvo is a virus no different than COVID-19. It could be sitting on the surface, but just because it's there, right? A virus has to come in contact with something living in order to grow. Just taking your puppy outside doesn't mean he's going to get parvo. And there are a number of different things that your puppy gets immunized for, but parvo is typically the scariest one, I guess. The one that people are concerned about.
Yeah. So I went and picked him up in Indiana and flew him home. And the airports, we were in two different airports, and airports now have doggy bathrooms, which are really interesting. And they have little fake grass in them with fire hydrants. And the guy, the breeder, he said, do take him into the doggy bathroom. He said, but really check its cleanliness. If there's any poop in there or any smeared poop, don't let the puppy get in his nose in it or anything. So I guess there can be stuff in other dogs' poop. So I thought that was interesting. I didn't know that.
Well, yeah. And you have to look at how certain things are spread with dogs. Like, for example, kennel cough is airborne, whereas a virus isn't airborne. Or things like Giardia or Coccidia, those are parasites that they spread in feet or sometimes even in water, contaminated water. So there are a lot of different things, but you absolutely should safely socialize your puppy.
I want to get back to making the decision to have another dog, because I've had a dog my whole life. My parents had dogs. My dad loved pug dogs. So we always had a pug dog in the house, and we had litters also in our house. So I helped little puppies be born when I was a kid. And that's where I really got my training about how life comes into being with puppies. And my sister and I our job was to convince my parents to always keep at least one puppy. So we had three dogs, I know, at one time. So I've always loved puppies. And when I married my husband, it was my second marriage. So we got married when I was 50 and he was 52. He had never, ever had a dog. And so I brought a dog into the marriage, my Chihuahua. And when he died in January and we put him down, which was horrible, it was just devastating, as it always is, because you've had this little, you know, it's your child, and he was devastated, even though it took a while. Our dog Dobby, Chihuahua, didn't take to him at the beginning, you know, because they're very, very persnickety about who they like and who they don't like. And so took a while, but he was really the caretaker towards the end, more so than me. And so it was really hard, and he had dementia. And so it was it was really hard, because he had lost his personality, and he just stayed in his crate. He never wanted to come out, and was scared of us. And it was just, the past year was like, I didn't even have a dog, honestly. And so it was funny, because after he was gone, I said to my husband, I want to have another dog. And my husband was like, are you sure? You know, he was a little apprehensive because he knew that it's a responsibility and we like to travel. So we do have somebody who comes in, takes care of our dog when we're out and about and away. But for me, a dog is such a great companion. There's so much more that life brings, like having children. They're hard and it's hard work, but the rewards are so much greater than the efforts that you put in. And the unconditional love that you get from a dog, like you come home from work and it's like you've been gone for weeks. You know, it's just like,
they're
your biggest and best fans. And fortunately, my husband was agreeable and I figured out, I didn't know what kind of dog we were going to get, honestly. We both wanted a smaller dog. We did not want to get a Chihuahua again. And so I just sought out on the internet to find a dog that kind of met his requirement of it being smaller, because I would have had a bigger dog. But I used to have Bernese Mountain Dogs, who I love those, but they shed. And so anyways, we found this breed, Pouton. It was just kind of this hybrid breed and he doesn't shed, which is, I never had a dog that didn't shed. So that's really amazing. But I just want people to know that having a puppy is life-changing. It really is life-changing. What he's done for us and how much enjoyment he's, and my husband never had children. So it's like his first child. It's his first, it's his first baby. And he is so in love with his dog. And we sit on the couch and we laugh. And we have so much, it's better than any Netflix movie. So, and being able to have Sherry support and understand kind of what he's going through. So I actually made some notes as to what has really helped us. Okay. So I thought if we went through them, you could speak to them. But one thing I added to my list was when we were talking in the pre-interview is you were talking about how much they need exercise and good to go on walks and how sometimes people are resistant to that. And I will be honest, I'm not walking him twice a day for 30 minutes, but I will say that I am taking him out. And there's two things. Number one, it's getting me out because I could sit at my computer all day long and not get up. And so he is getting me out into nature, which right now is really needed. And I used to run and listen to my playlists and I really loved doing that, but my joints can't handle the running anymore. And so
mine either,
but I started listening to my iTunes playlist again. And it's like, I get into a high vibe state when I listen to my music. So it's really forced me to get out into nature and to get a little exercise in and get energy runoff. Cause he like loves his walks and then it collapses when we get home. So I added that to the list because you were saying how people tend to not want to walk their dog. And I think of the benefits that that has given me.
Yes. And I think, so there's the benefits for the dog and then there's the there's multiple benefits for the dog and multiple benefits for the human. So all dogs need to get outside and walk around at least twice a day, depending on the breed, the age. It might be 15 minutes. It might be 20 or 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But one of the challenges, Lori, that you and I were talking about before recording is, you know, you were saying how the puppy helped you at this stage in your life. And I have a lot of clients that are in their 60s and sometimes they say, well, I don't want to walk my dog that much. And they'll get like a golden retriever that actually does require more walking than little Moji, who's a Pouton. And the challenge is they say, well, I'm older. I don't want to deal with that. And that's okay. Then hire someone to come in and walk your dog. So I think too, that's something where as humans, we get to the stage of life where we're like, I don't want to deal with that anymore. And that's okay. But your dog still has requirements and needs. So all dogs need to get out and sniff the ground. I mean, a dog's nose is 40% greater than a human's nose. Sniffing is more fatiguing than actually moving their little legs. But they need, the sights, the sounds, the smells are all important to your dog and they are all fatiguing. So every time you go outside, there's a different sniff on the ground for your dog.
Yeah. And I find that if he isn't going to the bathroom, it's like, all right, I'm going to take him up the street where there's lots of smells, and he always goes. So it's not necessarily a 30-minute walk, but it's a 10 or 15-minute walk up our cul-de-sac and back. And he like gets, it's like this release he gets, and that often will produce a poop. And then I don't have to worry about it in the house.
That's another great benefit of the walks, especially if you have a dog that will pee multiple times. And most dogs need to empty their bladder with more than one pee, even females. The other benefit for humans, Lori, is one, getting outside, especially during this COVID-19 pandemic. But also, Lori, when we're not social distancing, I bet you're going to make some new friends because Moji is so darn adorable that you might not have made because you wouldn't be outside walking a puppy.
That's so true. And do you know what? That my next door neighbors, we lived next to them for 7 years, and we've seen them more and spent more time with them in the last 3 months. And they have two dogs. And so now Moji loves them and goes over and we'll play with them a little bit. But yeah. And the other thing is, I would like to say that your puppy, our puppy, Moji, is kind of an internet sensation. So when I, you know, for your course, I had to take some videos, and I shared, you know, I share a lot of what he does. And do you know how many people like seeing a puppy on the internet? I mean, he gets more views when I post something of him. And so, you know, just if you go on a walk, you've got more footage to make people's lives happier, because everybody loves to see pictures of emojis. I get more direct messages when I take a little video of him and post it. So it has multiple benefits. Yeah,
it does. It has multiple, because now you're meeting people even on Instagram, in addition to people in your own neighborhood.
Yes.
That
yes,
you never would have known or met otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was telling Sherry before we got on that somebody reached out to me on Instagram, and she asked if this was, his name was Colt, his given name by his breeder. And I got him in Indiana, and somebody reached out randomly on Instagram and said, is that Colt from Puppies by Design? And I should give a plug to Puppies by Design, because they are amazing, and they have all different kinds of breeds. They have Cavapoos and Poutons and, you know, all the different poodle mixes, and they do an amazing job. And so she got a dog from them about a year and a half ago. And in fact, might even have one of Moji's parents, as you know, they might even be related, probably are related. So yeah, so we're going to meet, she ends up living 45 minutes from me. So we're we can visit, then we will. Okay. So there's three other areas that I want to talk about. So what has been really life-changing, and in all my years of dog ownership, I never, ever understood what the hell a Kong was and why anybody would buy it. Cause it looks like the oddest thing in the world. Like that little hole and what, you know, but the Kong is this cylindrical, kind of looks like a, I don't know, it's oblong, but it's bigger at one end, and it's got a hole in it, and you stuff food in it. And
it's like a cone.
Yeah. But the dog's tongue can actually get down in there, and they spend, because it gets packed in tight. And you also, I haven't tried this, but you had suggested putting it in the freezer, but I just packed, like, so I used deli turkey and some rice, and I kind of mixed it up, and then I shoved it down in there. And then I put a cylindrical kind of treat that kind of blocked it in there. And he spends, this is now what we do at night, because before he had that, he would get on, Mike would bring him up on the couch, and he would chew, and get to the point where drew blood with Mike, and we'd have to put him on the floor. And so that's the other thing that is on my list, is biting, which we'll get to, but we didn't know that it was just a sign of him being really tired. But this Kong, he will just lay there and chew and try to get at that stuff for like 2 hours. And and it will just make him, and he'll go take a nap and sleep. And it's just a really good way to occupy his time. It's like a really good babysitter.
It's so like a pacifier sometimes, right? So you give the toddler a pacifier, they suck on it until they fall asleep. The Kong could do the same thing. So yeah, the Kong is magic. So Kong is two different things. It's the name of a brand, and it's the name of a specific toy. So the Kong brand has numerous toys, but they're named after a specific toy that you were describing that looks like a cone, but it has it's a circular kind of.
And they have different sizes for different dogs and different like rubber, like toughnesses, I guess.
Yeah, different textures for heavy chewers or soft for puppies. But you stuff the Kong with, I like to use real meat. You can use a canned dog food, but the Kong is for something that you stuff in it versus kibble. Mm-hmm. And then the dog just licks it out. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while to lick. And so this is also what we call enrichment, or some people call it brain games, is that, you know, dogs were bred to hunt and sniff for their food. And we've removed them from that environment and put them in our house, and they eat their food out of a bowl. But they still have that desire to hunt and sniff and work on a puzzle. And so the Kong kind of simulates that hunting where it's a challenge. They have to lick all the food out of it. So I love it. And I love that you're using it, Lori.
Yeah. Well, and also you taught me not only just the Kong, but the food dispenser toys.
Yes.
So, and there's different kinds. Of course, you have your ones you recommend. So I have one coming. I actually ordered two more because I wanted him to have a variety. Yay. And then I also ordered the snuffle mat, which is where you hide food in this mat. And then they like to hunt this mat for it. So I was telling Sherry that I messaged her the other day and I said, you know what? One morning I was like, oh, I'll just put his food in his bowl. And he did not want he was like this ferocious eater. He was like, you know, and he'd like, yeah. And it was like, he would down the food that we gave him and want more. It was like he was never satisfied, which kind of concerned us because we were like, he's going to get fat. And so, because he was eating, we were feeding him when he first came, like the first week, three times a day. And then we now just do two, but he's still eating a little bit more than they told us he should eat. And so we were a little worried because it was so ravenous. And the food dispenser toy is, they just roll it. And the great thing was that in your course, you show your dogs doing it. And because you said they like to hunt for their food, they like to have this little challenge. And so I messaged Sherry and said, he will not eat out of his bowl anymore. And
I've heard that before. Yes. They like to work for their food. And sometimes people think, no, it's mean. It's mean to make them push around that toy, but they love it. It is their work. It is, again, they're hunting, right? And they were bred to hunt for their food. And so I've heard that many times.
And he's not ferocious. Like, he's not like going over his bowl every second. And I felt like it was, I so see what you mean by humans. We have these dogs that we have adopted and we expect them to be like humans. Oh, here's a bowl. Here's food. You know, it's not really the way they would do it out in nature. So that has been helpful.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think because we love our dogs so much, we just assume that they think like us and that they act like us. And we forget, right, that we had to be potty trained, that we had to be reminded to brush our teeth every day, that we had to be taught in school. So I do, you know, obviously I wasn't born with all my dog training knowledge, just like everybody else. I had to learn it and it took a lot of time. And I think it's just that little tiny perspective shift and getting a little bit of tool, like the interactive food toys, that help make all the difference so that you can have a happy, easy life.
And then back to the course and what I learned. And of course we have to do the training, but you teach us to do it. So I had a rescue puppy once and it was a very tough dog. And we adopted the dog when she was a year old and we just couldn't handle her. And we ended up hiring a trainer, which was very expensive, to come to our house and to teach, you know, to basically, the dog was great with her. Then she left and we're like, okay. But so I like the way you teach us to be kind of stand on our own two feet. And so the clicker, which I had never heard of the clicker, and it was like $3.99 at PetSmart. And so just having very, very early quick wins, because honestly, Sherry, I thought he was too young to learn. You know, when I joined the course, I think he was only like, we brought him home when he was 8 weeks or 9 weeks. And it was pretty much a couple weeks after that, you messaged me and said, you should do my course. And I was like, okay, I just never thought that he was ready, that he could be that young. And then I felt like he was like a star student because he was so good.
Yeah. And I think, again, like that's another misconception is that people think, oh, he's too young. No. You want to start young, especially because you want to prevent problems instead of waiting for them to occur, right? A pound of prevention.
Yeah.
Wait, an ounce of prevention equals a pound of cure.
So, yeah. And I think you fall in, as an owner too, you fall into patterns, right?
So yes.
you won't get into those bad habits either as an owner of no or whatever things that you're doing. I mean, we're hardly saying no to him because we just know every time he does something, it's because he's usually tired or he's hungry or he has to go to the bathroom or, you know, it's never, he's not a bad dog ever. And that has been really helpful for us. And I feel like he's really lucky that you messaged me and it's good that I posted that video. And then the last thing I wanted to touch on was biting. Because, you know, my husband was really concerned about it. He said, I don't understand, this dog is biting me and he's breaking my skin. And he doesn't do it with me so much, but my husband, my husband is a sap kind of when it comes to him. And so when he lets him out, we take turns taking him out. So we alternate. When I take him out, I'm in charge. But you know, I don't let him go certain places. Like we have a bunch of periwinkle in the back of our house. He doesn't go in there with me. I don't let him go in there. He might want to go in there, but I don't let him go in there. And so I say, it's funny, but I say, he walks my husband. It's like, they're going out. He walks my husband on the leash. Since my husband lets him do everything, I walk my dog on the leash. So he tends to, I think he thinks Mike is more of a playmate, like a kid, whereas he thinks of me more as the mom. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can just offer some enlightenment on that. But the biting thing, it's so clear now that when he bites, he's super tired.
Yeah. And puppy biting is one of those things where you need full approach. You can't just, how do I teach my dog to stop biting? You need to make sure that he's getting walks, that he's getting his interactive toys, right? So that he's using his mouth appropriately on those toys. Or I love how you are using that Kong, you know, instead of biting, and then that he's getting sleep, and then that you are teaching him and working with him not to bite, but also you can recognize when he's too tired. So what happens a lot of times with puppy biting is we'll play with our dog with our hands. We'll use our hands to bat at the dog's face, and like our hands are a toy.
Yeah.
And it's really common with men because women are a little bit softer and our voices are a little bit more high pitched. Sometimes it is harder with women because we have a higher pitch voice, but a lot of times men are more rough and tumble. So they'll push the puppy with their hands and the puppy will roll, and then the puppy will run back to them for another push. Right.
Yeah.
And puppies play with their mouth. They use their mouth like humans use their hands. And so they play back by biting. Now, again, they're biting with what we're playing with, which is our hand. And if you don't want your puppy to bite your hand, then you shouldn't use your hand as the toy.
That was life-changing for him when he heard that.
Yeah. And sometimes it's hard to recognize because we're like, no, I'm playing with the puppy. And then when we're not playing with the puppy and the puppy wants to play, he'll come up and bite. Mm-hmm. And he'll bite the toy that he played with yesterday, which was your hand or your thumb.
Yeah.
So you just have to make that shift and not use your hands as toys. Add in the other things. Use toys with your puppy and make sure you can recognize when your puppy is overly tired or overly stimulated or needs a walk or maybe he's bored. Because isn't it freeing, Lori, to know that he's not being bad?
Yes. Ugh. And especially for my husband too, because he was just like, he's bad. He's just got a chewing problem. And now it's like so clear. It's like we both know. And it's a lot of times in the evening. Mm-hmm. It's like he's been taking these like 2-hour naps right around when it starts getting dark. And then he gets up again and has, you know, a little bit of playtime before. He's a really good sleeper. He goes to sleep and he goes in his crate in our bedroom and not a peep. He doesn't get up till 7 o'clock in the morning.
Good.
So we're very fortunate. He's been like that since day one. So
good. Well, what happens sometimes too, just to follow up with why your husband more than you, is that if your husband is using his hands more than you are, then he does become the rough player, whereas you're maybe not the rough player. So it's a different play style.
Rugby player. Yes. Ex-rugby player. He's definitely rough.
Yeah.
And he pushes him away with his hands. Right. So that's like a game. He pushes him away and he's like, oh, I want to grab those things that just push me away.
Well, yeah, he's playing and that's how he plays, right? Yeah. He's going to use his mouth and we use our hands and they use their mouth. So just make sure you hand your husband a long plush toy.
Yes. Well, I don't know that we have long ones, but I did see that we need to get a long one. But he has so many toys. It looks like we have a little toddler in our house because it's like a minefield of toys.
I love it. The more toys, the better.
He likes the squeaky toys. I mean, sometimes he will squeak a toy so much that we'll like have to turn the volume on the TV up because we can't hear it. In fact, we do put him in bed. I do have this old toy that belonged to my other dog. And it had a squeaker, but its squeaker broke. So that's usually what we put him in his crate with. But last night I put him in with a squeaky toy. And so that's how I got woken up this morning was squeaky,
squeaky. Cute. Oh, sweet. Yeah. That's better than an alarm that beeps in your ear.
I know. So anyways, I thought that this would be a really fun episode because it's transformational for me to have this puppy. And I think it could transform so many people's lives if they just were willing to. And I know there's a lot of dogs out there that need to be adopted and it enriches your life. And people who lose a dog, even though it's terrible and there's so much sadness that comes with that because they're like a part of your life, then I loved Dobby so much. And I miss Dobby. I miss who he was. I wish he could have lived longer and had his mental faculties longer, but you can't turn back the clock. And I wanted to have a richer life. And the richer life was who knew that it was going to be Moji, but I just knew that a dog would do that for me. And so I just want to thank you so much for helping us in this process. And I know it's been even better because of the help that I've received from you. And so I just want people also to know that there are very great resources available online. It's so great that we can do this nowadays. It was probably the 80s when I had that dog. Cause I remember the house we lived in, we moved out of that house and it was probably the early 90s. Anyways, we didn't have the internet didn't have the online training and the access that we have nowadays to be able to do the things we have to do. So thank you so much for everything you do. And I'm still taking the lessons in your dust. It's not over.
No, it's not over. And I like what you said earlier before we started to record about how your husband was a little bit reluctant to do the training. And what I've heard from a lot of people, even a lot of my one-on-one clients, they'll say, well, it's hard for me to tell my husband what to do. It's not really hard, but it's not like hard isn't difficult. But I like the online program, Lori, because you could say to your husband, watch this. And it's not you telling him what to do.
Yes.
It's him. Because he doesn't
I know nothing, right? When it comes to him, you won't listen.
Right. It's him learning from someone different, someone independent, someone that isn't his wife or whatever. And then he takes on that knowledge as his own, right? And you were saying how you said, watch this video and how he was saying, oh my gosh, it's 20 minutes and you could speed it up and how he started to like what he was learning. And you even said how he was sharing it. You heard him sharing it on the phone with someone.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing that it was great too, because he knew I had signed up and was doing the dog training. And he was like, that's your thing. You know, that's your thing. You're the one training the dog. And when the puppy chewing lesson came out, I said to him, you're the one complaining about the chewing and he's chewing you. So you have to watch this lesson with me. So I made him sit down. We put my laptop on the coffee table. And like I said, he was like, it's 20 minutes up. And so anyways, I sped it up so we could watch it faster. But he did not stop watching that from beginning to end. And he was like, oh, really? And so I'm so good that it's not more than 20 minutes.
But I think most of them aren't 20 minutes. And that one might have been a little bit longer because there is, as you learned in that lesson, there are several little things that come into play with puppy biting that you need to make sure that you're addressing before you even start to work on it. Otherwise, working on it won't matter if your puppy's overly tired or overstimulated or some other things. So good. Loved yeah. hearing that.
Yeah.
And I do hear that a lot with the online programs too, where can my husband watch it or can the kids watch it? And so that's the value too. And having this is that you could just put the laptop on his lap and hit play like you did.
Yeah. And it's there to have as a reference too. And then I love that you have all the things that the resources, like the toys and the things. Because I keep referring back to that, because when I was on Amazon a couple days ago going to order new stuff, I kept going back to your handout and I was like, okay, which was the one she was recommending? So that was really helpful. So as we close, what is like the one thing that you would tell, like I would call them a struggling dog owner, where, because we've been focusing really on puppies and getting them started early. So what if somebody has a dog that maybe has developed the bad habits and maybe they as an owner, you know, are reacting in a way that they don't really want to. And so what would you recommend they do?
Well, I would recommend that they go to my website.
Oh, okay. What was it called? Yeah,
allabouttrainingdogs.com. But in general, because I think you're asking just in general, right, Lori?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're frustrated with their dog and maybe they're embarrassed when, because you were talking about the lunging problem and, and you know, it doesn't feel good to yell at your dog. So what are some corrective steps? I mean, going to your website and seeing what you offer is great, but I guess maybe just from what I've learned from you is maybe just recognizing that dogs think differently than humans, because we don't think to start thinking like a dog. I don't know.
Yeah.
Start understanding that there, you maybe need to learn a little bit as an owner, or I don't know. What would you say?
Yeah, I think, you know, back in the day when I was young, dog training wasn't something that you did with every single dog, but our dogs spent time in the backyard most of the time, right? They were in the backyard 8 to 10 hours all day. So they weren't in the house. They weren't as active with us. They weren't going to the mall with us. Like you said that you put Moji in the little pouch and he went with you. You know, that didn't happen, Lori, 30 years ago.
Yeah, you're right. Same as like with kids, right? They're more underfoot than they used to be.
Yeah. So dog training has evolved and changed, and our relationship with our dogs has changed. And so our learning needs to change. And so I went through the Karen Pryor Dog Training Academy. So that actually helped reshape what I thought about my dog. So I was a struggling consumer. That's how I became a dog trainer, is I had a naughty dog. And it was when I started to learn what was really going on that I started to understand that she wasn't a bad, mean dog. It was that she was frightened, and I had to learn how to change that fear. And so I think just like with the puppy biting with you, when you reshift that, instead of my dog's being bad, dogs are just dogs. They're not humans. So what we find as humans is bad or embarrassing or frustrating is oftentimes normal dog behavior.
So it sounds like you sought dog training because you want to understand your dog. And then what happened is you became passionate that what helped you so much could help other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you got into it.
Mine was a life-changing event also, right? So my mom died and a friend gave me a puppy. And similar to you, right? Like I thought I had a dog before for 11 years. She passed away. And I thought this puppy was going to lay in bed and cry with me. And she did none of that. She was hyper. She was jumpy. She was bouncy. She was barky. And she literally like would make me go outside and walk when I was extremely depressed and sad that my mom had suddenly passed away. I was 36 years old at the time. And as she grew, as she got older, she developed some really bad habits. And I went through the whole Caesar Melange, punish her. I hired a trainer. He wanted to put a prong collar on her. Another trainer wanted to put a shock collar on her. She was 13 pounds at a year old. And I just thought, gosh, that's kind of extreme. The theory was, and this, some of the theories are, you need to punish bad behavior. And at the time I was in human resources, where you taught employees before you punish them, right? If the employee wasn't doing what you wanted, well, did they completely understand what they were supposed to do? Instead of going straight to the punitive, I wanted to prevent. And that's when I found the Karen Pryor stuff. And like you, it opened my eyes. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't really know all of this. And I became so passionate that I left my human resources director job and became a dog trainer.
Oh, wow. This is the most powerful part of the episode. And I'm glad it came up because I had no idea that it was how you ended up doing that. So that is amazing. All right. Well, thank you so much. And I'm so grateful for you and what you do. And I just want you to know it's helped me and Moji and my husband immensely. I hope it helps people and inspires them to get a little furry creature in their life and be a good dog parent.
Well, I love to hear that it's helped you and your husband and that it's brought you guys closer together and that Moji has brought you guys so much joy. I love that.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at notyouraveragegrandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.